right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CatCast episode number 315, brought to you by our friends at Sony. We are broadcasting live from an alley outside of the Hammerstein Ballroom where we just listened to the press conference through a glass held up against the wall. Wombat, how you doing?
Cold, very cold.
Oh, so cold, but it's worth it. I think I almost heard something.
Yeah, I think I could smell the controller.
Yes.
Definitely caught a whiff.
Yes. Welcome to the show, Shipwreck. Are you via satellite?
I am from satellite here in Ohio.
Or are you next to me? I forgot. I can't actually look to the left of me to see if you're actually standing here with me or not.
It's a very thin alleyway.
But it was quicker just to ask.
Oh, yeah. So the Sony press conference, you guys watch that?
I watched some of it, but I had to get Ty ready for school and do the whole breakfast father thing. It was getting very hard to concentrate on both.
I had to take the train home and then walk my dog and then put my son to bed and then cook dinner and then put my daughter to bed. So they could have done this at a more convenient time.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, it was kind of strange to do it at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, most professional people are going to be commuting home, probably, right? Or
No, I would say that's fair, between 6 and 6:30.
What were you doing? Shipwreck's a professional. What were you doing?
I came home. I got home around, 5:30 or so, and I sat down on the couch and was just kind of waiting for it to start, and then I fell asleep. And then I woke up and they were showing Killzone.
Oh.
Nice. That's a good time to wake up. I mean, I caught it probably the last 45 minutes. I had it on in the background while doing everything in the house. So.
Right, Killzone, I heard that. I didn't see the Killzone video actually, but I heard that they have more colors now. They have green.
They definitely had blue.
Blue's a next generation color.
Is that the color of the next generation, blue?
Yes. We're moving on from brown. So I'm guessing that it looked lovely.
Oh, yeah. It looked like an improved Killzone.
Right.
It's Killzone. Like, I like Killzone well enough. It's just not going to...
It's still going to be Killzone.
It's not going to excite anybody, I don't really think.
Until all those people just commented, I'm excited for Killzone. I want to see Killzone.
I think everybody's just excited for a next gen system at this point, and you got to have a Killzone game, I guess, and that's always shows off graphics pretty. At the very least, it's going to look good. This will be something to show off your new system.
I'm assuming we're jumping right into this, just right into it.
We might as well. I mean, I forgot everything.
Yeah,
but overall, I thought it was fine, and I was surprised that they didn't even show what it looked like. I thought at least
that doesn't matter anymore, though.
Well, it's nice to have something to visualize. I think to have the you can already picture it on your shelf.
Yeah, I would like to have seen what it looks like, but I also agree with Chipwreck. I don't think we need to.
It's a box. It's a box that's going to sit underneath your TV.
But I need it to look sexy, though.
How many USB ports does it have?
I need to know that.
We did see the new controller.
Right. And apparently those leaks were dead on, obviously.
Pretty much. I mean, it looks really nice. It's a little more rounded on the bottom. Like, those handles seem a little bit more ergonomic than the current controller.
Right.
And did you notice the most important thing on the new controller?
The hole for my penis?
Close. It's the right size. The hole for the headphone jack.
I was right. I stand by my original statement.
There's a headphone jack. Yeah, that's I think probably one of the major mistakes I'd say with the launch of the PlayStation 3 was the difficulty of getting a headset to work for multiplayer games, and it looks like they're nipping that in the bud with the PlayStation 4, which is very good news.
I tend to not know where my Bluetooth headset is at various times when I go to play my PlayStation. So I tend to not even bother doing anything.
Exactly.
Or anything. But so that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very exciting. At least I find that to be kind of exciting. They also have a lot of other weird buttons on that box, like the one that lets everyone see what you're doing. Is that
the share button?
Yeah.
It's a little odd that that's... Like, I get that we're in a generation who likes to share everything, but to have, like, one button on your controller just dedicated to doing that.
Right. I'm totally fine. If I, you know, I like sharing. As you know, I like to share things, but I'm totally fine, like, having to hit the start button and then, like, select share from a menu. I agree. I don't think you need your own share button.
How, remember those phones that had the Facebook button on them?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That you proved my point. Again, I do think it looks really nice, though. When, you know, what is that? Did they show the screen, like, on at any point? The screen on the controller? Did they show what it looks like when it's on?
It's not a screen, is it? I mean, what is that thing?
I thought it was like a little LED. Is it like an LED
screen? It's a touchpad. It's a touchpad.
It's just a touchpad. It's not like an LED screen.
That lights up and says used game alert when you
use game alert, use game alert.
I don't know. Are we sure on that? Like I said, I missed the first part of it where they're showing the controller off, but it doesn't have any kind of like menu system or anything, little LED lights or anything that are under there.
I'm reading right from Polygon. They have 500 writers covering this event, and it says the controller will feature a touchpad, a share button, a light bar, and a built-in PlayStation Move. And built-in PlayStation Move compatibility.
Hmm.
And there's a stereoscopic camera peripheral.
Yes. That looks like a sound bar.
Mini Kinect.
Little Kinect.
Kinect, Kinect Junior.
Not Kinect, I think is what the Sony's calling it.
Not Kinect. Much not smaller Kinect. Than Kinect.
This is not Kinect for the PlayStation.
Right. I don't... I see something like that, if it's really small and... Wireless would be nice.
That might be nice if it actually does the things that I really like for Kinect to do for me, I am totally on board, which is really just me getting to yell at Netflix saying, PlayStation pause, PlayStation play.
Right.
Then I'm on board. I'm totally on board with it. I have no problem with it. I think it's a great idea. Most of the things they showed, I'm on board with, hypothetically, in theory.
Right.
There are very few things they showed me that I'm like, ugh, why are they doing this crap? There are things I'm not particularly interested in personally, but I definitely think they should be making them. Does that make sense?
Did you see the Media Molecule thing with the Move controllers, the sculptures?
Yeah, exactly. Things that I'm glad they're making.
Is that
going to
be a real
thing?
Like, what is that going to be? Shipwreck.
I don't know.
That's going to be.
It's going to be another. I mean, they make games where you create the game, so. You're going to go in and you're going to model little things and you're going to run around with them in the next little big planet or whatever game they're going to make.
But
like Wombat said, like
if I had two Move controllers, and that's a big if, by the way, would I be able to make anything that looked like what they were making? I mean, I don't. It just seems like you need to be extremely talented to be
able to.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could make stuff in Little Big Planet. Without much talent and get some
but this
get
is
some
drawing
stuff.
I mean they were drawing in the air I
sure,
feel like
I, you
if
could
I draw
get better
air,
at it
it's gonna look like shit.
I just think it's not something I don't like creating games. I like to play games that have been created for me to enjoy. So that demo didn't really do much for me. It didn't really sell me on the Move anymore.
Is it the same Move controllers?
It looked like it. Mm-hmm. I don't. Okay. It looked like they were just using a normal Move controller.
Now, does that mean that the current DualShock would work?
Mm.
It doesn't not mean that, but
yeah, right. I mean, obviously, no one knows the answer to that. It could go either way, I guess. But I think it's more 50-50 than like 0-100 or something.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a normal Move controller. I mean, there was nothing in there that told me that it was the PS3 Move controller. It could look the same and be a totally different hardware as far as like hooking up to the same system. Hopefully it's the same and it just attaches Bluetooth and you just go.
Speaking of controllers, did they show what you would do with the touchpad on the controller?
No.
Because you've already got two knobs on there. What are you going to do with a touchpad?
Play Angry Birds.
But you don't even need a touchpad to do that.
Yeah, but people like to play with a touchpad.
Is it just like, why not? Or we need a, an excuse to make this thing wider?
Which isn't bad.
No, that's not. That's a good idea, for sure.
I think it's another one of their, hey, we can technically do this. Like, Sony's...
Cheaply?
They're pretty good at doing this. They make hardware, and they're not quite sure what they are going to do with it, but they can do it. So they put it out there, and then maybe something will come out that makes use of it, or maybe it'll be the rear touch on the Vita, where it's just there.
I think, and they did that a lot, again, with this press conference. It wasn't necessarily, you know, the strong thing that they showed and the smartest thing they showed was, this is a console to play games, and here are the games that are going to be on it. And they also showed a lot of, and these are things it can do. It may not be the focus, but these are things it can do. You have a Vita, you could use your Vita like a Wii U remote.
Because, you mean to stream, which is similar to what the PSP could do with the PS3 a little bit, too, where you
could
certain games you could do it with, where you could remote play them. So it's the same basic idea. Now they're hoping to have all of the PS4 games, it sounded like, to where you could play them on your Vita remotely, which that's not a bad idea. I could play PS4 games in my bed, I guess.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. It's like you said, not a bad idea. It's not going to revolutionize anything, I don't think. But again, not a bad idea.
It's nice. It's nice to have that feature though on your, you know, on your that check mark on your feature list when people are going, you know, compared to the Wii U, like you're just stripping away like the major, the major bullet point on the Wii U.
We can't compare this to the Wii U at all. Like. When you saw this press conference, it made the Wii U look even more irrelevant, right, like than it was already. I mean, they're already having a hard enough time selling them, and then this just shows like how far advanced the new the PlayStation, the new Xbox are going to be.
Yeah, and it's from everything, and not just the graphics, which is going to be the most, you know, the biggest difference, but the interface. It seems like, you know, Sony's going for this really slick interface where you can, you know, it's going to be a central hub in your living room, and the Wii U will never really be that. I mean, it's super slow, right, Shipwreck? Like, just to do anything on the Wii U?
It is, but they've also said that they are working on improving that, and there'll be an update here in the next couple months.
Right.
One of those Nintendo Directs said that they were going to take down a bunch of those loading times and everything.
If I'm a betting man, I'm feeling Sony pulls that whole living room hub thing off way better than Nintendo does. I mean, by a large margin.
Totally. And how about that, you know, to play digital games, you could start playing them while they're downloading.
How does that work exactly?
I don't know, but it's cool. I'll take it if it works.
What is that? Yeah, I don't understand how that works.
Gaikai. Isn't that what it's called?
Gaikai. So you're downloading. Are you playing like? So you're playing the game over Gaikai, but you're downloading it too. I don't know
if that was the Gaikai stuff. They said that was how they were kind of doing the streaming for, the PS4 to the Vita.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're using that technology to do the whole streaming games as you're downloading them. But I mean, essentially, what it would be doing, I would guess, is just downloading the assets that you need to start playing. But I don't – with how much – like how like big the texture files and everything are going to be on these, it's – I don't know. I just can't see myself in Ohio turning on a PS3 and starting to play a game and it's downloading while I'm doing that.
I think it's
going to be satisfactory. I just – I don't understand how that works.
Whenever we talk about this stuff, always somebody writes in and they're like, I can't, you know, a lot of people write in and they say, I can barely use YouTube like after 6 p.m. in my, you know, in my neighborhood because just so many people on the network. So, yeah, it seems like this is a dream. Maybe in Japan, it could probably work great.
In my house, it'd probably work.
But
I have good internet speed in my house now.
But if I'm Sony, that's a good talking point because, I mean, a big problem with the PlayStation 3 was, and still is that you bring home a game or you download a game and you're not going to be playing that anytime soon.
Exactly. I mean, and I think it's interesting and exciting to see that, you know, right off the bat, they're saying, without saying these are the things you hated from the PlayStation 3, they're saying,
right.
But it's true, they really are saying that. We know you hated this. We know you hated load times. We know you hated that you couldn't just plug a headset into the bottom of your controller. You know, we know that you hated having to go through 18 menus to find Netflix. So here are all the things that we've done and listened to you and what we're going to do for our new console so you don't have those problems right out of the box. And that's impressive.
That's great.
They even started the press conference off, you know, going through the architecture of the PS4, and it was basically to say, you know, we recognize that we made programming for the PS3 really hard, you know, porting shit to the PS3 really hard, and we're not going to make that mistake again with this PC-based architecture.
I think the smartest thing any company could do, any company or person could do, is to learn from their mistakes, even if they're, you know, in many ways nitpicky mistakes. If all of the complaints that your users have are nitpicky, then there's no reason not to fix them. And if there's enough little things that work perfectly, then it makes for a great console.
There's a lot of room for improvement from the PS3 to the PS4.
I still think
the PS3 is like a disaster. I know that it sold fine, and I know, well, you know, relatively fine, but I don't know. I think the PS3 was just a disaster in terms of the functionality of the system and all the hoops it makes you jump through to do everything. It's such work.
Well, I sent you those numbers. I mean, I was able to procure the attach rate numbers for the PlayStation 3 against the Xbox 360, and the percentages were, you know, vastly different in the United States. And I think that's, you know, where more people were buying games with a 360 than the PlayStation 3.
Right. Yeah. I mean, And to be honest, like, the 360 has become, at least mine, I can't speak for everybody's, but my experience now with the 360 is it takes forever to turn on. It's like, it's like a solid minute of that just circle spinning. It's become so bloated with, I don't know, with all these apps and shit. I don't know if that's the problem or...
It's gotten bloated with 7 years worth of stuff on it.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. And so that experience hasn't... really ended on a banging either, but I don't know. I'm excited overall for this.
Yeah, me too. No, I think they did a very good job, and I think that, you know, it's nice to see Sony come right out and say, here are the games, and not say, here's Netflix in motion. Like, I don't want to see that.
Right, they did.
They didn't mention Netflix, though.
Nope.
It's there.
They did?
Well, they showed, like, a screen, you know, that menu screen.
Oh, okay. I missed. I didn't see, you know.
With all the quote-unquote apps. Are we calling them apps? Is that the word we're going to use?
Apps, yeah. I was surprised to see that they are going with Ustream for their game streaming and not Twitch.
Yeah.
I would love to know the reason why.
Maybe we'll find out when Xbox makes an announcement.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, well, you know, that's...
Interesting on that screenshot that they have of all of their apps. One of them there is PlayStation Plus. So I guess that, you know, is that confirmed for the PlayStation 4, PlayStation Plus continuing?
Yeah, they're going to have PlayStation Plus. I mean, it's a good marketing technique that they've...
I love PlayStation Plus. We talked about it last week, and it's currently my favorite thing on the PlayStation 3. I think I wish the Xbox did something like PlayStation Plus. And the sad thing is, I don't think they are ever going to.
Because they don't need to.
Exactly.
They're getting your money. This is, I mean, unfortunately, well, there's been rumors, right, that Sony for the PS4 is going to charge for online play this time around. Which I don't know.
I think they should.
I mean, they should. Yeah.
If I am a Sony shareholder and I see how much money Microsoft is making on Xbox Live subscriptions, and it's something that we're just giving away if we're Sony.
Right. Like, we can't afford to be giving that away.
No. It's not a big enough selling point to where people are choosing a PlayStation over an Xbox because there's free online.
Right.
I really just don't think it's a big enough selling point. You're going to make more money by charging the people who are going to buy a PlayStation and are going to play that or pay for that subscription. It just makes sense.
Right. It's not like the subscription costs $200 a year. It's, you know, $40-$50. It's not going to make or break somebody, probably.
And with the current and with the current offerings that PlayStation Plus has, it'll be an easier pill to swallow than it is on the Xbox.
Right. If anything, it still makes Xbox. If PS4 can, and it looks like they're headed in the right direction, can really challenge Xbox Live for, you know, their online infrastructure and features, then yeah, it makes Xbox seem overpriced because you have that whole PS Plus added value thing, and it's almost embarrassing that Microsoft hasn't done something similar. Maybe they will. Maybe they will.
It's a difficult situation to be in because it really devalues the content. Like, there's a lot of stuff now on PSN that I'm not going to buy because I've seen what goes for free now on PlayStation Plus.
That is true.
So it's a double-edged sword there. I mean, it's a good service, but at the same time, you might be cannibalizing like launch sales of games.
Right. It's like when you have sometimes people come to me on CAG and they say they want to do a contest to give away some product that they're trying to sell. And I'm like, well, if you're offering to give away, you know, give people the chance of winning something, nobody's going to buy it because they're just going to wait to see if they can win it for free. And it's like the same thing with PS Plus. It's like, I'll just take a chance and wait a month or two and see if this game will be free for me.
That's why I'm not going to buy any of those Midway arcade games that just came out.
Right.
I want to play them.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Capcom. I said Midway.
Oh, okay.
It's old habit. Yeah, the Capcom games. Thank you for correcting me. Yeah, I'm interested in them. And I also know that they're going to come out as a bundle in May for $10 less. But I'll even wait till June if I think it might be free.
You're patient. That's what you're saying.
I am patient for free. Yes.
For free.
So let's talk. I think we're going to learn a lot more like about what the system, like the interface and everything is and how everything works like at E3.
Yes.
But they showed a lot of games. They showed Killzone Shadowfall, I guess is the name of the next Killzone game.
Good for them.
It looked pretty. It looked like a hit the left trigger to look down the sights and shoot everything game. Like, it didn't really do much in terms of advancing gameplay,
right?
At least in the video, but I'll play.
Was that in engine or was it just Ted? You know,
no. It looked like that was actual gameplay. But
okay, I'll take your word for it.
It didn't look like it didn't look so good that it caused any concerns, like just by eyeballing it.
that it could be fake.
Yeah, like I think it's perfectly reasonable. Like and you could kind of tell that some of it wasn't quite done yet either, because the way the running animations were in it, there was like some stuttering in the animations, and I don't know. It needed some polish still, but it looked really good. I don't know. I have no idea what the storyline is in those games anymore. You shoot the dudes with the glowing eyes.
I thought that was the storyline.
Yeah. I gotta say that I think Far Cry 3 might have spoiled first-person shooters for me.
That game was good.
And I don't know that, like, because I was thinking, you know, Crysis 3 is out this week. I know, jumping ahead, but I was thinking about buying it, and then, like, this is not going to be nearly as good as Far Cry 3.
No, I don't think it will. A, I don't think it'll be as good as Far Cry 3, and B, it'll be like $30 in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, hopefully. So.
Just like Dead Space 3 is now $40.
In 2 weeks.
So.
Everywhere.
Maybe not that many people bought that game. I don't know.
You think?
That's pretty amazing how quickly they just went and every retailer dropped it to $40.
$40 in two weeks.
I think every retailer sees Dead Space and thinks, hey, this is a major seller. And like I talked about when it released, I think there's a lot of people that aren't quite ready for another Dead Space.
It was soon. Yeah. Next gen Dead Space would have been interesting.
Oh, it would have been huge.
Yeah. They shot their load too early. That's what
you're saying. I'm sure they'll sell plenty of copies of it still. It'll still be an NPD top 10 seller. So I'm sure they made plenty of money on it. They just could have made more.
Right. Dead Space 3 HD coming winter 2014.
So the next game they showed was for you, Cheapy, the Drive Club.
Right. I like driving games.
And you, like club
opening
sandwiches?
Up car doors?
Do I like what?
Opening up car doors?
I do. I like that in Forza. Forza 4, you get to open up car doors. Why is that? What you, I didn't see that. I actually haven't seen the video for this. I was.
Oh, you didn't. Okay. No. So it's all first person driving.
Okay.
They were showing how you could open up a car door, sit down in the seat, and then buckle your seatbelt.
Okay. You know what? I like that. That's like a.
I know.
I can't tell. I can't tell if you're making fun of me.
I am, but
we're definitely making fun of you.
Okay. Good.
And then you drive, like, the whole thing was you get in, like, clubs, groups of people, and then you go around and do challenge races and stuff. This is clearly not a game that's up my alley.
No, that would be on the bottom of my list.
But, that's nice, but you know what's also going to be nice? Forza 5, which will be announced at E3, I'm sure. Especially if it has the Top Gear license like it did last time. And if they can do more with the Top Gear license, then I'm a lot more interested than this. But we'll see.
I think this is a good move by Sony, though, to have another racing game while people wait for Gran Turismo.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to, nice to have some money coming in while you're paying for the production of Gran Turismo 6. Yeah. Good call. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's called Drive Club. And okay. I'm down. Sign me up
first,
for Drive Club.
First rule of Drive Club?
Open the door before you get in the car.
Seatbelts. Definitely seatbelts. Always seatbelts. I'm a big proponent of seatbelts, Wombat.
Everyone should be. They save lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they showed another Infamous game, Infamous Second Son.
Which looks really cool. I'm excited for that, actually, honestly.
Okay.
I like it. I think, you know what it looked... I felt like it looked like to me because it shows they imply that there may be a cast of characters instead of just one. Is that accurate or am I?
Yeah, but that Infamous 2 kind of went that way as well. Like you always have multiple super like hero slash villains running around.
You know what this game should be, and you know, and I say should be in quotes. Is it should be like the, it should be like a really good version of that X-Men game that what's their faces made?
Silicon Knights.
Yes, because that game had there was a good idea there.
It just didn't need to be an X-Men game.
Yeah, and they made a piece of shit. But the idea of a game where you play as a character that you know that which is the basis of the first Infamous game. But I like the idea of different powers, like Infamous. It was red or blue, but it was still electricity.
Right. So we're going to get to fight. So basically, like in this one, you're going to be fight like Fireman and Ice Dude and Lightning Boy.
Something like how the other ones have been. You've right. just always been the guy with electricity.
Exactly.
And this time it looks like you're playing as Cole's brother or something. Mm. And he has red powers.
Yeah, he could like dissolve or some shit. Yeah.
I couldn't really tell what he was doing.
But I like the idea of them branching out, and maybe the powers are a little bit more diverse and, you know, kind of give that game a reason to play it, say, more than once. Like, I played it as Ice Guy, now I want to play it as Fire Guy.
I don't know if that's really what it's going to be about, though.
I doubt it, too. But as I say it, I'm like, they would never do that. But it's a better idea.
Wombat is developing his own game right here.
I stand by that.
For PS4. Coming in 2016.
Infamous 4. You
should talk to that crazy guy that introed this game during the presentation. See if he's down for that.
I'll do that.
Did you see the intro to this?
No, I didn't. I see his balls.
It was so melodramatic. Like this was talking about a future where everybody's being watched and like there's like the big oppression all around and all of a sudden superheroes.
I'm scrolling through this now. Did anyone who introduced the game have hair? Is that like a thing?
Well, you got to realize that we're kind of hitting the age in video games where the guys making the games are all going to be like 40, 50-year-old dudes with male pattern baldness.
Yeah. I have a luscious head of hair that will always be there. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Congratulations.
Uh-huh.
Don't rub it.
My hair is crazy long right now.
if you haven't seen the intro to, you need to watch this guy, like how into this backstory he has. And then all of a sudden it's an Infamous game. Like,
right.
Taking it a little bit serious.
Maybe gotcha. They're taking the game in a new direction. Now
it looked
drama.
Like another Infamous game to me. It just, they're fun. I usually get bored about halfway through them.
Right.
Vampires. The vampire one was good.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're big fans.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went a completely different direction and they started talking about the indie stuff.
Yeah. They had Jonathan Blow was there. I didn't hear him speak, but I saw that he was there. And he's also bald.
Right.
He is.
He also has a standing desk.
He's basically you, but even more pretentious somehow.
Somehow. He actually made something. Oh, this game. I remember this. The Witness.
The Witness. It's been in development for a while. Nothing like Braid, his previous game.
Right.
It's an open world wander around and solve puzzles type
Myst.
Of game.
Myst.
I was going to say, it looks like Myst.
It's like Myst or Cairo, the game I played last year on PC.
That's right.
I mean, there's a lot of games that kind of look like this. Like, it's not – the graphical style is – it did not hold up to going from these games that were really like just awesome looking to a game that's just like, okay, it's kind of, it's an indie game.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was an odd thing to have. I get what they were going for in the middle of the presentation is, hey, we really reached out to these indie developers because PlayStation does a good job of that. But it was an odd thing to have just like right in the middle of the presentation.
Especially since it went 2 hours.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I loved Braid. Braid was great. I don't know that I'm like that into Jonathan Blow to see this Witness game and be interested in it. Really? Like, it didn't do anything for me at all.
Hmm. You need a hand on the screen, right?
Like just I mean, that's the thing. We've played these games. They're fine. I mean, I'll probably play this one, but as something that like it's trying to sell me on the PS4 and they were saying this was a lot like, or this would release exclusively first or debut on exclusive. The PS4. It's a time exclusive for the PlayStation. Okay.
Right.
Sure. And then they went from Jonathan Blow to David Cage.
You could wake me when you're done talking about David Cage.
I'm probably done talking about David Cage because...
Excellent. Let's move on to the next game.
He said a whole bunch of words that about emotions.
And I don't care.
Did he
I really
did
don't
show
care.
Anything?
They showed faces.
They showed
of
faces.
An old man.
They showed, yeah, old man face. Old man is, I think, the new Sony mascot.
Yeah, because he was in a lot of demos.
He was showing up a lot. So
is that now the barometer of graphical fidelity? If you
look how old this man looks. Look how old he looks. Even Media Molecule had an old man in suspenders.
Right, the wrinkles. Because if you can get those like real time wrinkles, then you know that's next gen.
Are we going to skip to the next game that had old man, or do we want to talk about Capcom first?
That Capcom game looked good.
Deep Down.
It looks pretty cool. Deep Down. That's the worst title.
Well, that's a code name for Dragon's Dogma. DD.
Yeah, it's going to be Dragon's Dogma 2.
Got it. Thank you. I was going Deep Down. I think I had Deep Down Volume 4, College Girls.
Yeah, was it good? Is that good? Is that a good volume, number 4?
I had that one. Dragon's Dogma. Look at you guys smarter than me.
Somebody wrote it on Twitter.
Well, it just it looked
it does
so,
look
like
Dragon.
Spot on.
I know, and I never really got past the demo. Like that was one of those games where the demo was like, I don't think I'm gonna like this game.
It was a little too like wanky.
Japanese. It's a little too Japanese for me.
A little too Japanese.
Yeah, so I'm hoping it gets past that a little bit.
It looks good here. What they showed here looked good.
Yeah, I mean,
lots of fire.
That was the first thing that made me kind of sit up and actually look at it closely when it was when they were showing this game.
Right. But, and yep. I saw on Twitter an unnamed Sony employee tweeted that basically we have no idea how good it is, meaning that it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good. But I'm assuming that's going to be on Xbox, too.
Probably.
You would assume. I mean, a lot of the stuff they showed in the last half hour seemed like stuff that will probably come to Xbox as well. But
at no point did I hear them say this game is an exclusive for the PlayStation 4.
No.
So you think they would have said that?
Yes.
And then Square Enix showed a tech demo for some reason that involved more old men. Old man.
Yes. Gotta have man.
Old man.
The best old man.
You know, the dude looked pretty creepy in the Square Enix one, and then they had the chick with the feathers. So, right. There you go. That's all I got. Speaking of ladies, I saw this on Twitter, and I don't know who brought it up, but I found it interesting. There was not one woman on stage during the Sony press conference.
Yeah, I retweeted that from somebody else.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
There were, congratulations, Sony. No women.
Yeah, there was hardly any women or minorities in any of the games either.
It's because women and minorities don't buy games. Everyone knows that. What are you, stupid?
And Japanese are racist. Japanese are extremely racist and sexist.
There weren't many Japanese dudes either. There was a lot of old men, Caucasians.
Yeah, lots of old, bald Caucasian men.
Yeah. Yeah, we're good.
Yes.
We're taking over, guys.
Good luck. Good on you, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'll stick with women and minorities. Okay. Minority women, even.
Right. So,
yes.
What are we on next?
Watch Dogs? Shipwreck said the same thing my wife said when we were watching this on my computer. Isn't this just Person of Interest, the game?
I don't know. Is that
but it looks good.
It's a TV show. It's a TV show starring Jim Caviezel.
They kind of see the percentage of this person has the potential of being a, like, either being a criminal or something happening to them, which is kind of the same thing that Watch Dogs had going on there. It looks interesting just because it's unique. Like, it's the same thing we saw basically at E3 last year.
Is it unique?
I think so.
I guess. I feel like I'm supposed to be really excited for this game, and I'm not. And I don't know if it's my fault or the game's fault.
I think it's your fault.
Is it my fault? Because I have no interest. Like,
but it doesn't,
zero.
You know what? You're better off just like not even reading or looking at another thing about it. And then when the game comes out, if you see that it's getting great reviews, then you go in fresh, and you'll have a much better experience than everybody else who spent the last...
You know what it kind of reminds me of, too?
What's that?
Is Prey 2. The game that never came.
Right. So supposedly that's coming.
Okay. But it had that same kind of like,
yeah,
you're walking around an open world and like you can kind of see what everybody else, like what their story is and like interact with them and take on different missions.
Yeah. You're some kind of space, a future bounty hunter type guy. And yeah.
This looked like Batman too, this Watch Dogs.
That's what I was going to say.
This guy's Batman.
It's very Batman-y, but it also, every time I see a game where the guy's not Batman, I go, why isn't it just Batman?
Darkman.
Darkman is a good movie, by the way. See? Don't fuck with that movie. That movie's
good.
No, I'm
saying it's like Darkman.
Liam Neeson feels no pain.
And the guy, the dude from L.A. Law. the
Larry Drake.
Larry Drake, the retarded guy from L.A. Law. Benny.
Yes, Benny.
Mm-hmm. Benny.
Francis McDormand.
Watch Dogs also had it looked like Assassin's Creed type of climbing around on buildings and everything too, which I don't know that was shown previously.
The parkour.
It had some parkour stuff. I don't know. It just looks like a cool, like, it has the GTA elements of being in a city and having to like kind of run from the cops and
I'm in.
Yeah,
it's slow motion, and
don't get me wrong, I want it to be very good, and now, you know, if it is very good, I'll play it. It's just right now, I could care less.
It's a launch title.
That's good for them.
Yeah, no, you're fine. You're better off not caring about it. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Every game, you're better off not caring about it until it comes out, and then you play it for the first time.
Speaking of other things that I think the ship may have passed, is Blizzard was on stage. Talking about the Diablo 3.
Yep. I couldn't tell if that. I mean, they said it was, you know, they're in some relationship together, Sony and Diablo, but they never came out and said it's a PS4 exclusive.
No, they never said.
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
Right.
The way they had it worded, it just sounded like they were kind of like Sony kind of wanted them to say it like that. But it's probably just like, yeah, we have a deal to bring it to PS3 and PS4, but we're not going to mention that we also have a deal to bring it to 360 Xbox. And whatever the next 360 is. But I don't
Xbox.
Know. Sure.
Xbox forever.
I'll play Diablo 3 with a controller with my wife.
Sure. Yeah. Why not? I mean, I'm sure it'll be fun. I just, it also seems like at this point, I feel like I can, like I'm already thinking, I can wait for this to go down in price. I don't even know how much the game's going to cost when it comes out or when it's going to come out.
It's going to be awesome when it's $29.99.
Yeah, but I'm already like, I can wait for a price drop.
Well, you've waited this long. I bought it for PC, but I'm so glad that I didn't. I mean, I wish I didn't even bother buying it for PC, but I'm glad I didn't spend that much time playing it on PC because I think I would much rather play it with a controller.
I sound so jaded is really my problem. I sound very jaded.
Well, you know, you've seen enough of these press conferences and you realize that, you know, maybe, you know, 20% of what you see is not really going to come the way these guys just told you. Either it's not going to happen at all, or it's not going to be well implemented, or something's going to be wrong. So you have to take all this shit with a grain of salt.
Yep. I mean, again, we're talking about Diablo 3, which, and I brought this up to you guys, but not on the show, which was one of the highest reviewed games of 2012. And, you know, on every major website's top 10 game of the year lists, it didn't make any of them.
Right, and it sold a shitload, so it was very
successful. It sold 7 million copies or something?
More,
you know, that's
I think.
Yeah, it sold a lot. This is a very successful game as far as game sales go. But for a game that, you know, Diablo 2 was part of the video game conversation, so to speak, for, a decade? I don't feel like anyone's talking about Diablo 3 anymore until today.
No, and it's crazy.
It is kind of crazy. Like, this game should be, you know, arrow to the knee for Skyrim became a meme on the internet, yet there was nothing similar for Diablo 3, and I feel like Diablo 3 actually should have been the bigger game.
Well, maybe the console is what it needs to become a bigger part of our
lives. It's going to sell okay on the consoles. It's not.
I'm sure it will.
Well, he's not talking about the sales. He's talking about the fact that no one seems. It's not on anybody's top 10 list. It's not really infiltrating people's lives the way
it's the style.
The
of
way
game
Diablo
it is,
2
though.
Did. Is it that the style of game is passé?
Yes. This style of game, Borderlands, is the modern Diablo. Like, it's got the modern shooting mechanics. It's the same, like, game structure. It's just Diablo 3 is an overhead dungeon crawler. Like, it's – I don't know what people expected it to be. Like, that's what that game is. They did it
again.
I think
that's what people wanted. But I think – but something happened along the way where, you know, some people say it's the always online DRM that killed it. It's the change to the marketplace that killed it. It's the – too much of a reliance on real money after you bought the game that killed it, you know, but Diablo 3, whatever the reason might be, is not part of the zeitgeist like Diablo 2 was for a decade. And to me, that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, we're not talking about a game that just that wasn't successful. This game was successful. We're talking about a game whose predecessor was so successful that to go from Diablo 2, even Diablo 1, Diablo 1 and Diablo 2, were still selling. I mean, you know, through a couple of years ago, they were still probably selling well. And now Diablo 3 is like, you guys both have barely played it.
Oh, no, I've almost beat it.
Well, there you go.
But that said, I never did beat it. But some of that was just the, I don't know, playing with people online on the PC, they just wanted to rush ahead and kind of killed the fun of the game.
Yeah, again, it's just surprising to me. Like, yeah,
I think it would have.
What happened there? Something like, and it, is it Blizzard's fault? Did they not support it for the PC as well as they should have?
I don't know. It's underwhelming to me, right? From the start of me playing it, I was expecting
it's the style of game it is.
Away.
I think it's just, it's 2013 or 2012 when it came out. People bought it because they wanted to check it out. It was a big game. And then it is, it's still just a three quarters isometric view clicking on stuff game, which there's also a bunch of those out there. I mean, you've got Torchlight, which is a quarter of the price.
Right. It's been as low as $10.
And Torchlight 2.
Torchlight 2, I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have, what, Paths of Exile?
Yeah, which is supposed to be excellent.
Which is free.
Which is free. And I did play some of it. And it, I mean, to me, it looks as, I mean, if not 100% as good as Diablo 3, then 90%, maybe better. I mean, it's
good enough.
It's hard to tell. It's close enough that it's hard to tell which it looks better.
And then you had, on Xbox Live Arcade, you had like one of these games coming out every year, like to various degrees of like goodness. But if you wanted to play a hack and slash loot game,
but that's kind of like saying, you know, because I don't know, you know, it's like you're saying, well, Halo 4 is just a running around shooting people game. Game like that comes out every year, but it's still Halo 4, which I think is still just as big as it ever was and still as big a part of the conversation. So why couldn't Diablo 3 capture that kind of magic being the pinnacle of the genre?
Don't count them out. Wait till PS4 and Xbox.
Yeah, and again, you're right. The storybook is not closed on the game. I just find it interesting that it kind of has fallen off of the cultural zeitgeist of the gamer consciousness.
Ta-da.
Zeitgeist.
Yeah. Zeitgeist, and it's a good word.
And also, they announced that Destiny was headed to PS4. And people seem surprised, but I was reading Twitter and people seem surprised.
The game has a 10-year plan. You can't have a game with a 10-year plan on consoles that are going to be outdated in 9 months. It doesn't work that way.
It's Activision. It's coming out for everything.
Yeah, what did they think? They thought it was, I mean, they've said it. They've said from the start that their next game was going to be multi-platform.
And I am very excited for this game.
Maybe they thought it was going to be a PS3 game. I mean, I don't know. I mean, major journalists seem surprised, unless I'm not reading sarcasm.
Maybe you're not reading sarcasm properly.
Yeah,
I can't imagine anyone being surprised that a game where they've constantly said the game has a 10-year plan would be an Xbox game or a PlayStation 3 game, because that's just dumb.
Right. Which is, and they showed some gameplay finally.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm excited for this game. This game to me reminds me of the multiplayer of Mass Effect 3, but as a full blown game.
Right.
And I'm excited. I'm on board. Count me in.
Good.
Yeah.
So, and that was it, right? That was pretty much
That was pretty much it. But they did end the conference by giving the info that it's coming out this holiday.
Right, which was
the consoles coming out.
Nobody was,
and I assume by holiday they mean Hanukkah.
Right, and they didn't show it. You don't get to see.
No, no box.
So that was it. I mean, overall, I thought it was good. They probably could have. I mean, they easily could have shaved 30 minutes off of that and made it tighter.
We could have done that with our conversation about it too.
Ours will be shorter than the press conference. So I don't know. It's good. I'm excited for next gen. What can I say? But I'm also very realistic, and then I know that a lot of what they show, and by they I mean everybody, not just Sony, a lot of what they show here just never happens or never pans out properly. But
there wasn't so much crazy stuff in there though that I saw this time that I had to question whether or not it would actually happen.
Right, the Gaikai stuff is what I am most.
Yeah, that's the stuff that's a little iffy, as well as the whole backwards compatibility thing through streaming. If they get it to work, great, but I don't think it's going to work here in Ohio very well.
Hmm. Did you consider moving?
Right, if everybody in the Midwest considers moving to a place that has much better infrastructure.
Yes.
Then we're
Sweden,
all on board.
I heard, is really good.
But I think Microsoft, after watching this, they probably let out a sigh of relief.
How's that?
Well, I just don't think there's that much here that they're probably not already doing.
Right.
Like, I don't think Sony.
Well, what could they have had? Like,
I don't know.
3D projection, hologram system.
Yeah, I mean, there could have been something there, but I don't think any red flags were like raised at Microsoft that went, oh no, they're doing this.
Right.
I think they're probably just sitting there going, yep, we're doing just about everything that Sony's doing. And
we'll have most of the same games.
Yeah.
I think at this point it's going to be very interesting to see, because one of the things that looked like was important to Sony, and you know, only time will tell, was keeping it simple and straightforward and streamlined and playing great looking games in a way that's a little more user friendly than I think the PlayStation was at launch. And I think the Xbox has slowly been getting more complicated and going in the opposite direction. So it'll be very interesting to see how Microsoft positions itself, having seen this, and going with a more streamlined approach.
Yep. I'm there excited. You
go. I'm glad. Your excitement makes me excited.
I'm excited to buy stuff.
Do we want to go into show feedback? Look at that. I'm moving along on the outline now.
Sure.
Look at that. So actually, you know what? I'll go right into this one. This is from Istis.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was one of the ones shaking my finger condescendingly last time Wombat brought up backwards compatibility. Somehow his stance sounds a lot more agreeable this time around. If he told me that Wii U played GameCube discs and asked when I'd buy it, my reply would include the phrase "cold dead wallet." I'm bringing that comment up because they did discuss backwards compatibility in the event, where it won't play old discs, but you will be able to stream.
Maybe. You will be able to rebuy the stuff that you...
Yes, you will be able to rebuy your games. So, there you go, people.
Well, they said... They didn't even say that. They said they're working on it, right? They said they're hoping to use Gaikai to let you play the PS3.
Did they say
games.
That? I thought they said that you would. So,
I
okay.
I think that they said that was the plan. Yeah, they... I don't think that that's going to be ready for launch, or at least it seemed like...
Dude,
they don't think it's going to be ready for launch?
Just for a minute, think about the PS3 and think about how much shit was not ready for launch. A lot of shit. So don't be surprised.
I think that goes with all the consoles.
But really, PS3.
All the consoles.
Only PS3.
Remember when PS3 showed showed those shirts that you could design yourself and then sell later on?
Oh, Xbox has so many. I'm telling you, all these dudes, all these conferences are just...
I said Sony to see if you were listening, and you weren't.
Well, I knew I knew you were talking about Microsoft.
Yes, it was a Microsoft thing.
I know. Well, I'm just going... I'm saying it's not just Sony that's guilty of this type of thing. Anyway, mm-hmm. We got to do this Watch This, Bitches.
Yep.
Because
right into it.
I finally saw Skyfall, and I guess Wombat saw it as well.
I saw Skyfall also. As soon as you tweeted that you saw Skyfall, I'm like, fuck it, I got to watch this now.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I saw that you tweeted that you saw it, so I put aside some time that evening and watched Skyfall myself.
And what'd you think?
And I don't want to spoil anything, but
there might be some spoilers here.
I'm going to do my best to dance around them.
Okay.
There was a lot of Dark Knight in this Skyfall.
Oh, yeah?
It was really interesting and surprising, and I read some of the like background story stuff on this, you know, like some of the behind the scenes comments from the director and some of the actors, and the you know, it was intentional in many ways. But it's like at some points it just jumped out at you, you know, the whole Javier Bardem character and Heath Ledger's Joker. I mean, there were some scenes where it's almost like watching the same performance.
I like the Batman movie a lot better.
I know you like the Batman movie a lot better. Or even scenes, you know, at one point you actually have James Bond standing on top of a building wearing an overcoat that's bellowing in the wind.
And he's yelling, "I'm Batman."
That's the only thing that's missing. It was really interesting, and it's really surprising because Christopher Nolan's big influence, has said, and I know this because I just finished reading a very long book about this, one of his big influences of making The Dark Knight was James Bond movies.
Yeah, I didn't care for this movie very much.
I know you didn't like it at all.
I thought it was pretty dumb.
I liked it.
You did?
I liked it too.
Yeah, I thought Skyfall was really good.
I thought it was fun. It was good. You know, again, a little Batman-y. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
It just seemed really fake. It didn't seem like any of the characters were acting like real people would act, making decisions that real people would make.
This is a James Bond movie.
I know, but here's the thing. Like I think the reason why, you know, when they rebooted the James Bond films, I think the reason why people liked it so much is because it went really dark, right? They made it a lot darker. Like you see James Bond suffering a lot. It's like basically the exact opposite of the Roger Moore James Bond movies, where he's like a I don't know, he's an old man, but he's good at karate and he gets laid a lot.
There's a really good James Bond documentary that's on Netflix right now. It's the new
I saw Everything or Nothing, right?
Yeah, that's really good.
But this movie, like, it they weren't as dark as like Casino Royale or
which really holds up still. Casino Royale definitely holds up.
Well, yeah, it's not that old.
It's older than you think.
But they weren't going too far in the other direction either. They were like, they couldn't decide where they wanted to go this time, if they wanted to be dark or they wanted to be kind of funny. And instead, it was like in the middle, and it just, I don't know. None of the shit made sense, really.
I really liked Javier Bardem.
Sure.
I thought, as James Bond villain goes, he was one of the creepiest.
Right.
I think he definitely pulled off what he was trying to do. Yeah, especially that one scene where he gets super creepy. But
I thought he was one of the better villains in a while.
Yeah, me too. I really liked him. I liked him. I thought he was better than Le Chief, or I don't even remember the name of the villain in Quantum of Solace, which I like that movie too. But, you know, I like Skyfall. I thought it was very good, but I definitely can see why you didn't like it.
Even from the very start, when Mrs. Chibi and I were watching it, Mrs. Chibi kept saying, pointing out the huge plot holes out loud. Even in the first 5 minutes of the movie, which I think set the tone. Anyway, I know a lot of people liked it, but I thought it was really...
I thought Ralph Fiennes was good in it, too.
Sure. He was fine.
that's his
what
name.
Else we got here?
I watched the entire 3-hour and 5-minute History of the Eagles documentary.
Why?
Because it was riveting.
Really?
Yes. I couldn't stop watching it. Like, I put it on because there was nothing else on, you know, there was just nothing on TV. I just put Sabrina to bed and I was exhausted. So I'm like, okay, I'll put this on and I'm sure it'll be boring and I'll turn it off and go to sleep. Next thing I know, the ending credits are rolling.
Is that on Netflix?
It is not on Netflix.
Is Desperado playing?
It's funny, they do bring up Desperado and that whole, like, what we know of as Desperado is not really isn't the album cut. It's just the greatest hits cut, I believe. But anyway, that's a whole other issue. Linda Ronstadt came up with that tempoed version of Desperado. But it's a whole, like, it's just everything about it. You know, Glenn Frey. I always thought the Eagles broke up because, and I, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't know that much about the Eagles other than owning that greatest hits album that everyone owns because it's the best-selling album of the 20th century. And you know, in Hotel California, I didn't really know that much about the history of the Eagles. And I always thought they just broke up because Glenn Frey and Don Henley couldn't stand each other anymore. But it was really the rest of the band against Don Henley and Glenn Frey. And mostly Don Felder, which really, poor Don Felder.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough Eagles.
Yeah. Okay, fine. I won't talk anymore about the Eagles. I really liked it. It's very interesting. It's 3 hours long.
Right. Seek help.
The third hour, yeah, the third hour, which is all about the reunion.
You're still talking about the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as interesting.
Talk about the Eagles
anymore. Okay, fine. We're done. No more Eagles.
Yes. How about
new releases?
Yes.
You can get new releases anytime you want, but you can never leave.
Mm-hmm. See, you're still talking about the Eagles. So what do we got this week in new releases, Ship? Anything? Crisis?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Crisis 3 came out. We talked briefly about that earlier. I don't think any of us have played it.
I've never played a Crisis game.
I've never finished a Crisis game.
Yeah.
I think you would really like Crisis 2, Wombat. You need to play that.
Hmm. Okay, I have no problem with that.
And Metal Gear Rising Revengeance kind of snuck out.
I didn't realize that was...
I have not played it.
They send it to you?
No. I didn't request it. I'm going to start getting back into the reviews here starting next week. So,
excellent.
Ooh, big man with his
reviews. But it's been getting good reviews. It's the action-oriented Metal Gear.
It's like Devil May Metal Gear, right?
I guess, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks good to me. I want to pick it up.
It's been getting good reviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll check it out. I just got an email from Metacritic. They said they're going to allow us to put their scores on our site on KAG. But I don't know. Maybe I say, hey, what? Now you can put our reviews on your site, and everybody wins.
Once we start doing those again.
Right, that's what made me think of it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. That Capcom arcade stuff that Wombat was talking about came out, where you can buy all the different Capcom games.
Yep, Black Tiger is free on the PlayStation 3.
That's a good game. I like hopping across trees.
I'll take it for free.
It's kind of a weird just setup that this has, like where it's almost like, what was that the Xbox Live thing called, where you
game
can
room.
Play the older game room? Yes, game it's like Capcom room. Came up with their own game room now.
Boy, Microsoft abandoned that thing fast.
That thing was a disaster, and rightfully so. It was one of the poorest conceived ideas in the history of video gaming.
It could have been good,
but they decided to sell every game individually for way too much money. I don't know what they were thinking.
Maybe they'll bring
it back. Capcom's going to try that.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least Capcom is doing this thing where you could buy three games. The first set of three games is $5, then it's $10 after that. Or you could wait for everything to be released, and then it'll be $30 for the whole set. Which, you know, whatever. If they did Game Room and they said, okay, you could just buy everything for $30, I bet they would have sold a lot of game rooms.
Well, I remember when we were talking about it when it's out, we liked the subscription model idea.
That might have worked too. Or it should have been part of your gold subscription. That
something.
Would even be something. Something.
Nobody wants to be nickel and dime to play arcade games.
No, no one wants to be nickel and dime to play games that are 30 years old.
Yeah. Anything else this week, Shep?
Let's see here. Serious Sam Double D XXL came out for Xbox Live. I've heard decent things about that as well. I haven't tried it yet.
That's Mommy's Best Games made that. They're good people. They're nice people. I've met them.
I like the Serious Sam franchise too. They're dumb. I like that.
Mm-hmm. You like dumb. Uh-huh. I wonder why you're on the show.
Huh? I've also been playing a PSP game that came out this week.
Excuse me?
Yes. I've been playing it on the Vita. Generation of Chaos, Pandora's Reflection. If you can tell by the title, it's a Japanese game.
See, I was thinking, I was going to say Swedish, but whatever.
I've already forgotten the title.
Oh, I forget the title all the time because I just have it. They sent me the code for it on PSN. And so the thing about the digital age of gaming, particularly on portable consoles, is that you never see the title of the game. Like, because once you have it loaded, it just kind of like stays loaded, and then you just go back to it and play it again. So I cannot remember the name of this game ever. I have to read it.
It's too long
every time.
To fit on like the home screen of the of the OS.
Yeah, but what it is, it's $20. What it is a Japanese kind of tactics game, which they've had other Generation of Chaos games. This is like, I don't know, this might be the fifth or sixth one on the PSP. There's been a lot of these, and they've always been like kind of complicated, but this one feels more like a casual game, like something you would play almost like on iOS or something. So you have the overhead map, and you're trying to capture the different points, and when one of your characters bumps into one of the enemy characters, then it goes to a battle between those two. But the battle is done kind of almost like a music rhythm game. Like you have to hit the X button in time with where like a marker goes over certain icons. So if you do that well enough, then a ring comes out on when you go back to the other map, and then your other characters, if they're close enough to that ring, then they can also attack. So it doesn't take that much thinking, which I like because I'm bad at strategy games. So the battles are only like 5 minutes long. The storyline and the characters aren't all that great, but for $20, it looks nice on the Vita as well. I don't know. It's kept me interested in it. I was worried, like when I was playing it, I'm like, oh, I don't know. They're probably going to charge $40 for this. And I couldn't really like recommend it for that. But for the $20 or when it goes free on PlayStation Plus,
You better say the name of the game again.
Oh, yeah. Generation of Chaos, Pandora's Reflection.
Right. Write that down now because you'll definitely forget it. And speaking of weird Japanese names, I mean, did you see the part of the Sony press conference where, what was it, Capcom came out to show their new Panty Raid game engine? I mean, that's what it was called. Like, I already forgot the name, but it sounded way too much like Panty Raid. Fanta Raid? I don't know. They really like panties here in Japan. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, I've seen pictures.
They can't even keep them out of their electronics press conferences. They like them so much.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have panties all the time. Panties, mm-hmm. panties.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where are we here on this fucking outline?
I think we're on multi-platform news and stuff.
Sure. Did you see that PC game, March of the Eagles, Wombat? Were you interested in that?
Does it have Don Felder or Joe Walsh in it? Because if it has Joe Walsh in it, I might be on board.
No, it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Randy Meisner? Is Randy Meisner in it?
Should we talk about the January NPDs?
We can talk about, is Randy Meisner in
it? The bloodbath that took place?
Yeah.
In the hardware area?
Do you want to just skip right to hardware because software isn't really that exciting?
Yeah. Software, all the same games that have been there forever, plus Devil May Cry.
And Far Cry. Yeah.
Far Cry 3 at
Far
two.
Cry. That's right.
And your Nino Nakanuni that came in at number 11. Ship.
What?
Which is excellent for that game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. I'm saying that's very impressive. It wasn't a slight on the game. It's just me making fun of the title because it's from another country.
For a PS3 exclusive Japanese RPG to come in number 11 on the NPDs, that's pretty good. It deserves it, though.
Yeah. Exactly. Very good. I'm glad it's doing well.
You know what's not doing well?
What?
The Wii U.
Wii U.
The Wii U sold 57,000 units in January.
Remind me
Xbox.
To. Xbox
is 281,000.
Which is insane for a console that in its last year to sell $281,000 to a brand new console that sold 57,000.
Yeah.
That's what's so shocking. It's not the 57. Well, the 57 is pretty shocking, but that other consoles are still selling on top of that. Remind me to record my son saying Wii U, Wii U, Wii U. Because he has a toy fire truck and he'll roll it around and he'll shout that. It's cute.
That could be a new commercial for Nintendo. They need it. They need something.
They need 57,000. That's it. That's right. It. How does that happen? Is it safe to say that Wii U is DOA now? Is that the death knell? Is there coming back from this? How do they come back from this? Go cheapy.
Price drop immediately. And games. But they can't do much about the games immediately, but they can do the price drop immediately. I mean, it's way overpriced. And it's going to seem really way overpriced in November. So, I don't know. Isn't there...
I don't know. I don't know that the price drop would help.
Because they can't drop it that low.
Yeah.
To make it like an impulse buy.
Yeah, I just don't know because... There's no software there. That's the issue. Well, there's several issues. People still aren't sure what they're supposed to be doing with this tablet thing.
Right.
This
thing needs to be under $200.
But is anyone going to support it without anyone buying it? If you're Activision, what game are you making for the Wii U?
Activision's making everything because they're porting everything. They're one of the few companies that are just like, yes, let's do everything. GoldenEye or whatever on there.
Not porting something new.
I don't think you realize what the development is for the Wii U. It's going to be ports.
I mean, that's it, though.
It's 360 and PS3 ports, and then.
So how is that going to help sell Wii U's if it's games that you, if it's just a port of a game for a console that you probably already own?
And it's going to be a shittier version.
I don't know.
As well.
has been the problem with this timing of this Wii U for. Since it was announced.
2 years. I mean, if this thing came out 2 years earlier, it'd be golden.
Maybe.
Or at least two of those 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, what do they do? Is it? I mean, it's underperforming the GameCube in you know right now.
Well, I think the February numbers for it will be, it'll sell over 100,000 units in February. Doing nothing, I fully believe that it'll more than double what it did in January
because everybody would have returned their unsold Wii U's, the Wii U's that didn't sell on eBay. Those are all been returned already.
Yeah, I think that had a huge effect on these January numbers, where all the people who went out and bought Wii U's in hopes of cashing in on them being a hot Christmas item, they returned them.
People don't realize what a big number that is. It's a pretty big number.
Yeah.
We found out the number.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's big.
It's a big number.
It's a big number.
But
and that's why when you look at the December sales for the Wii U, they're pretty high. They're really, you know, there was like over 400,000, right?
So is that really it though? Should we be taking the 2 months and kind of averaging them out? So 457
pretty much.
By 2. Is that a more accurate depiction? So maybe the Wii U isn't dead.
It's in trouble though. It's going to be in trouble. The problem is,
I guess February
they need to
be
under $200 by November, and that's not going to. That's a big move.
That'll never happen, and it won't happen with the free game and the hard drive.
Yeah, and another. I mean, the Vita also had a really bad month as well.
Yes,
the Vita supposedly sold about mid-30s.
They should just bundle that thing into the PlayStation 4. No like cost.
Like you said earlier.
And throw that thing in there. Get it out in people's hands. Sell games. Make it a Wii U
beater. Touchpad controller. They should just call it the PS4 gamepad. But, you know, so in Japan, they had a Vita event here where they announced an official price drop to 20,000 yen, which is about $200. In America, and that's
What was it before?
It was just like in America. It was, you know, $300 basically for the 3G model and $250 for the
so Wi-Fi. About a $50 price drop.
Yeah, well, they dropped the 3G version down to the same $200 level as well. So they're both the same price now, the 3G and the Wi-Fi versions, which goes to show you that nobody bought the.
I said that right away. I said the 3G was a bad idea for the beginning.
Yes. So obviously they just need to get those off the shelves as soon as possible. The problem that I think that the Vita faces is that even if they drop the Vita down to $200 in the States, it's still significantly more expensive than the 3DS, especially to get it up and running with a proper size memory card and a game. You're looking at, a memory card, a proper sized memory card is what, 40, 50 bucks?
100.
Well, 100 is the biggest one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you need, though. I mean, so many of those games are downloadable. They're pushing digital. They really are. Sony is pushing digital distribution for this console, but they're selling memory for too much for people to want to buy the digital content. It's
an old way of corporate
thinking. It's this weird biting the hand that feeds you mentality that, I don't understand how these people still have jobs, because there literally should be a boardroom where the memory card guy and the digital distribution guy sit in a room and come up with a plan to make it work for both of them. But they're not. It's like Congress.
Yeah, it is. You're right. I mean, you'll never sell Vitas with. I mean, they think they're going to make so much money off the memory cards. This great plan to make money off the memory cards. The problem is, you're not going to sell any fucking memory cards if nobody buys your system, because the memory cards are too expensive.
And no one's going to buy the digital games because they're only going to buy the cheap memory card.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what Sony can do with the Vita, because, like I said, $200 is still. I mean, but the Amazon Black Friday sale. It was $180, right? And it was the Assassin's Creed bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Came with Assassin's Creed, and it came with, I think, didn't it come with PlayStation All-Stars as well? And, I mean, that was a better deal than, you know, a drop down to $200. So, I don't know. It's Sony's, the Vita's got problems.
They should just rename it the Sony Sisyphus.
I did try out, there was another game that came out for Vita, though. The Urban Trial Freestyle.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this one.
PS3 and Vita. It's basically just a ripoff of Trials HD, but since Trials HD is a 360 exclusive, somebody made this for the PS3.
Is it exceptional?
It's from the demo I played, it's adequate. It's not as good as Trials, but for playing it on a Vita, it's not bad. But I feel bad, like, if I were to buy it, just because it's just such an obvious, like, cash in on what Trials did, which I understand. Somebody pointed out on Twitter that Trials is an actual, like, that's a sport, I guess, in the UK, where they take these motorcycles and they go over these, like, hard courses, and they get scored on how many times they, like, touch their feet to the ground.
Here's some breaking news.
Nobody anywhere else knows that that is a sport.
Right.
And when you make the camera angle and the graphics look so much like Trials HD, it just comes off as hoping to get confused with Trials HD. But it's not bad. It's $10. I think it's cheaper if you have PlayStation Plus.
Cool. What was the breaking news, Wombat?
So the new Sony the PlayStation 4 will be bundled with a mono headset that plugs into the controller. I think that's very exciting. It will also, there is a speaker. It's a stereo headphone jack, but it'll come with a mono headset. So probably a headset that looks a lot like the current Xbox One, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm.
It will still have 6-axis. And the light bar contains 3 LEDs that can light up in various colors to provide useful information to the players. For example, the bar will be illuminated in the same color as a player's avatar to let them know which on-screen character they are controlling.
All right, similar to the ring of lights on the 360 controller.
But in different colors.
Yeah, but same concept.
Yeah, that's a little more expanded, but sure.
Whatever. It tells you what right. player you are.
System seller. Yeah, this is obviously a system selling feature.
Yes. Hey, I thought it was pretty...
How much do you think those controllers are going to cost for the PS3? There's a lot going on there.
There's no individual start and select buttons, only one button that's just called options. Yeah. So there you go. And the triggers are more trigger-like.
That's a good thing.
Yep, but the one, I don't think the current DualShock, it's very trigger-like. It does use Bluetooth for wireless communication, and nothing else that's particularly thrilling.
So to me, that would say that I bet the current PS3 DualShocks will work with it, but maybe not for the PS4 games.
Here's an exciting one.
The backwards-compatible games.
The DualShock 4 can be charged through the PS4 even when the console is on standby.
Are you just reading Wario64's tweets?
No, I'm reading the press release.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. That's one of the big complaints that we've all had.
Exciting?
Is that you can't... Exciting. Exciting in the sense that, wow, they're actually fixing some of these nitpicky dumb
things.
They're
doing what the 360 did again.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if they can't fix this shit that was broken with PS3 after 6-7 years, then yeah, they don't deserve to be in business anymore. And there's a lot of shit that was broken. So
yeah, and they're doing it.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. Yep. What else we got here? We're done with the MPDs, I think, right?
I think so. We weren't talking about MPDs. We were talking about a Trials ripoff game.
Oh, well, whatever. anything else we want to talk about?
I think we've talked about a lot of stuff.
Because I could go eat lunch right now. That sounded pretty good to me.
I think you should go eat lunch.
My Thursdays now are pretty fun, actually. So I do the show in the morning with you guys. Then
we are fun.
I go eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Then I pick up Ty and I bring him to a swimming lesson at Tokyo American Club. And I bring my MacBook Air with me that has the raw show on it, and then I just edit it sitting in like the dining room at Tokyo American Club while Ty plays in the kids' room there. It's fun. I like my Thursdays now.
Sounds like a Thursday. I need to bring this up because I need to brag a little bit. Jetpack Joyride on the iPhone and everything.
Yes.
Pre-game. I completed every objective in that game. Every single one. I got every star and leveled up.
That's a lot, isn't it?
There is a lot. There's 15 levels, and there's whatever it is, 15 stars per level. It took me a long time, and I didn't spend a dime on that game. But I did it. I made it. I leveled up all the way past the level 15 is called Barry. That's the level that you work to.
So what's it called? Game Center? What's the
I think it should be there, right? I guess it would be there. I would hope so.
I can see you doing, having a high score or something.
I don't know if I would have the high score, but I guess I should have a relatively high score, right?
Hey, one thing we forgot to mention, Harmonix announced that Rock Band 3 would no longer have any DLC after April. And a lot of you guys sent me that on Twitter when I woke up that morning. I had 10 tweets about it. It was a good run, Harmonix. You never got Never Say Die Iron Eagle on there, but I forgive you. Not too late.
It's going to be interesting to see what the next gen holds for the music games.
Yeah, I was thinking. Well, they showed at the Sony thing. They showed the thing with the Move controllers. I didn't know what the hell I was looking at, but it looked like Pachter wrote back and said it looked like Just Dance meets Rock Band. You know which part I'm talking about?
Did you see that? I didn't see that part.
Oh, there was like a part where you have people holding Move controllers and there's like cartoon characters playing musical instruments on stage, and I guess they're moving along with the
maybe Wii Music contender.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Can we get Ravi Drums?
When Patrick invoked the name of Rock Band when they showed that, I thought that was a little blasphemous, but I didn't say that. So anyway, all right. So we'll see you guys next week. I guess we'll do a quick here. Go to GoDaddy for web hosting. Fuck it. You don't need this ad, right, guys?
That's fine.
You know all the coupon codes at this point. Just look it up. We'll catch you next week.
Bread's done.
Tech-savvy consumers are lining up today to be the first to purchase Sony's brand new stupid piece of shit that doesn't do the goddamn thing it's fucking supposed to. Onion News Network Tech Trends reporter Jeff Tate has more.
Thanks, Brandon. It's being called the biggest fucking waste of your hard-earned money to come along in years. Sony's new stupid box thing hit the shelves at crowded malls and overpriced electronics stores around the country today.
It's got a whole bunch more memory and megapixels and whatnot than any of the other TV shit that I already have. I can't wait to get home and spend my whole fucking night trying to figure the goddamn thing out.
If you can somehow claw and bite your way through the impossible to open packaging, this stupid piece of shit offers a wide variety of frustrating as hell functions, including flashing random fucking words and numbers on its display screen, not coming with the fucking little doohickey thing it's supposed to, and being goddamned ass backward as fuck. Sony spokesman Alan Compton said the company designed this sucking fucking goddamn thing to make everyone in the modern home want to tear their fucking eyeballs out.
We listened hard to what our customers said they wanted the most out of their own home entertainment system, and then we pumped out this impossible to use fucking piece of shit.